Welcome back. In this lesson, we're building a tight old-school DNB sampler rack in Ableton Live 12 with that chopped vinyl character that feels like it was pulled straight off a dusty jungle record, but still works in a modern mix. The big goal here is not just to make things dirty, it's to make a playable rack, something you can use across intros, drops, switch-ups, breakdowns, and little transition moments without rebuilding the whole thing every time. That's the real workflow win. So think of this like a character layer sitting on top of your main drum and sub foundation. We want punch, attitude, and movement, but we do not want low-end chaos. Start by loading a new drum rack on a MIDI track. Before you add anything, decide what role this rack is playing. For this lesson, we're making it a character drum rack, not the entire drum kit. That means it's there to add flavor, groove, and sampled identity on top of the core drums. Keep the rack small and focused. You only need a few main pads to get a lot of mileage. Kick layer, snare layer, hat or noise layer, break slice layer, vinyl texture hit, and maybe one reverse or lead-in slice. Fewer pads, deeper control. That's the smarter DNB move. Set the project around 172 BPM. That puts you right in the zone where jungle phrasing, rollers momentum, and chopped break edits start to feel natural. Now load source material with some life already in it. Use old break fragments, dusty one-shots, rim shots with room tone, vinyl noise snippets, or chopped percussion from classic break sources. If the samples are too clean, you can dirty them up later, but starting with something that already has character usually gives you a better result faster. For the break slice pad, use simpler in slice mode. Set it to slice by transients, and start with sensitivity somewhere around 55 to 70%. If you want a more natural chalk trackered feel, turn warp off. If you want a bit of old-school pitch drift, repitch can be a nice choice. Keep the voices tight, usually one or two voices, so it stays disciplined and doesn't blur. That transient slicing is a huge part of the sound. It gives you a playable break that behaves like chopped vinyl, but still locks to the grid well enough for modern DNB arrangement. Next, build the kick and snare layers so they punch like a sampler, not like a polished loop. For the kick, use a short, punchy sample in simpler set to one-shot mode. Trim the tail if it hangs too long, then add a little saturator after it, maybe 2 to 5 dB of drive, just enough to thicken it up. If the kick starts clouding the rack, use a QA to trim a little around 250 to 400 Hz. For the snare, layer a body hit and a crisp top layer. Keep the transient strong, but not clicky. A light drum bus can work really well here. A little drive, a little crunch, and only a careful amount of boom if the snare needs more chest. The snare in old-school DNB often wins by identity, not by sheer size. It needs to cut through RSEs and bass pressure, while still leaving space for ghost notes and break flicks. Now here's where the vinyl chop feel really starts to happen. It does not come from one effect. It comes from tiny imperfections in timing, length, and start position. On the break slice pad, vary the sample start a little, so the attacks aren't all identical. If you want performance control, map start to a macro. Keep the slices short and edited so they behave like chops, not like full break playback. Then use MIDI note placement with small offsets. Push some ghost notes slightly ahead, pull some pickups slightly behind, but keep your kick and snare anchors tight on the grid. You can also add a groove pool groove with a bit of swing. Nothing too modern or exaggerated. Somewhere around 54 to 58% swing is often enough to make it breathe. If the slices respond well to velocity, let that groove influence the feel a little more. A really useful advanced move is to duplicate your main MIDI clip and make one version more machine tight and one version more broken and edit heavy. Then alternate them across sections. That's a classic old school trick. The groove evolves without needing a totally different drum pattern. Now we turn the rack into something playable by mapping the important controls to macro knobs. This is where Ableton workflow gets fast. Good macro ideas here are things like vinyl tone, break dirt, snare bite, hat sizzle, start jitter, space, width trim, and fill panic. Keep the names musical and intuitive. If a control does not make the rack feel more playable right away, it probably does not deserve a macro. For example, vinyl tone can control a filter or EQ tilt on the break layer. Break dirt can drive a saturator or a drum bus harder. Bass can control a tiny reverb send. Fill panic can trigger a reverse slice or push up the volume of an FX hit for transitions. Then process the rack as a whole. On the drum bus can add glue and attack. Glue compressor can tie the layers together, but only lightly. You want the rack to feel finished, not flattened. Aim for about 1 to 2 dB of gain reduction on peaks. If the texture layers are getting harsh, use EQ8 to trim muddy low mids around 180 to 350 Hz and tame speed highs around 3 to 6 kHz. This is really important in DNB. A rack can sound huge in solo and still wreck the mix once the bass comes in. So the bass processing should make it feel tighter, not bigger for the sake of it. Now add your chopped vinyl atmosphere. This could be a short crackle loop, a room noise texture, a tiny phrase chop, or a reversed percussion tail. Keep it very controllable. High pass it aggressively, usually somewhere around 200 to 500 Hz or even higher if needed. Keep the level lower than you think. If it needs movement, use auto filter or a tiny bit of redux for roughness. Then automate it with intention. Open the filter in pre-drop bars. Let the texture rise at phrase endings. Put a small pitch dip on fill bars. Spike the reverb only at transitions. That way the atmosphere supports the groove instead of washing it out. A really effective old-school arrangement move is to let the texture stay minimal for the first few bars of a drop, then introduce a chopped reverse slice at the end of bar 4 and bar 8. That creates a call-and-response feel between the drums and the phrase endings, which is perfect for rollers and darker jungle hybrids. When you write the pattern, leave space like a pro. In DNB, the rack should not be firing constantly. It should interlock with the bass line. A strong 2-bar pattern might have kick on the main anchors, snare on 2 and 4, break slices filling gaps between snare hits, ghost hats tucked into offbeats, and a reverse slice leading into the next phrase. Vinyl texture should usually appear only at phrase endings. Always think about the bass. If the reese is busy, simplify the drum chops. If the bass is sparse, let the chops become more rhythmic. If the sub is long and sustained, avoid long low-pass drum tails. The drums and bass should be in conversation, not fighting for attention. Once the rack feels good, resample it. This is one of the biggest advanced workflow moves in Ableton. Record a few bars using resampling or track capture. That turns all the moving parts into something you can edit faster, and it often captures the accidental charm that makes the rack feel alive. After resampling, cut the best 1-bar and 2-bar phrases, consolidate standout fills, reverse short tails if they help transitions, and duplicate or pitch a phrase slightly for variation. Resampling also makes it easier to create answer phrases for the bass line, which is super effective in darker rollers and jungle influence tracks. Before you call it done, do a quick mix translation check. Listen in mono. Make sure the kick and sub are not fighting. Remove unnecessary stereo width below about 150 Hz. Keep low mid build up under control. Compare your rack against a reference DNB track at matched loudness. Use utility to collapse problem layers to mono and keep width only on the texture pads. If the chopped vinyl layer is masking the snare, notch a little around 2 to 4 kHz or shorten the sample. And remember this rule: if the rack sounds exciting but makes the bass line feel smaller, it is too loud or too wide. A few common mistakes to avoid: don't fill every gap with chops. Leave breathing room around the kick and snare anchors. Don't overdo the vinyl noise. Treat it like seasoning. Don't let the break slices muddy the low mids. Don't make the rack too wide. And don't overcompress the bass. You want glue, not flattening. If you want to push this rack further, think of it like a performance instrument with states. Build safe and wild versions of the same pad. Maybe one chain stays dry and tight, while another has extra drive, pitch wobble, or reverse treatment. You can crossfade between them during fills. That gives you instant variation without rebuilding the rack. You can also create two-layer break logic. One layer is the attack layer, short and crisp. The other is the body layer, lower and dirtier. Mute one or the other for fills and breakdowns to create instant arrangement contrast. A great old-school trick is to slightly underquantize ghost hits while keeping kick and snare anchors tight. That contrast is the sweet spot. Human where it matters, precise where it counts. If you want a fast practice challenge, build a mini version right now. Use just 4 pads: kick, snare, break slice, and texture hit. Put the break slice in simpler slice mode. Map one macro to break dirt using saturator or drum bus. Write a 2-bar pattern at 172 BPM with clear anchors, a few ghost slices, and one reverse pickup at the end of bar 2. Add one automation lane for the texture filter. Then resample 4 bars and compare the audio version to the live rack. The goal is simple: make it feel like a usable DNB tool, not just a sketch. So to wrap it up, the core idea is tight anchors plus chopped character. Use Ableton's stock tools to keep the low end disciplined, the texture high-passed, and the groove alive through micro-timing, start variation, and phrasing. Resample early once the groove works. That is a major advanced DNB workflow win. Build for 8-bar energy, 4-bar switch-ups, DJ-friendly space, and that classic bass and drum collant response. If you do that, your sampler rack will not just sound old school. It will feel like a real record being played back with attitude.